President Obama's economic stimulus plan aims to put $30 billion towards developing clean energy sources within the next 3 years, and that's expected to create about 4 million new jobs. Even with industries around the country laying off workers, the programs that train people in solar energy tech in Arizona are filling up, as we'll hear next from Laura Markowitz.
It's 10 in the morning, and 24 people are gathered around a metal electrical box that's mounted on the side of a rammed earth house bordering Saguaro National Park West. The group is taking part in a 6-day workshop to learn how to design and install solar energy systems.
Here, there's two ground rods driven here at 45-degree angles. That's a new Tucson thing.
While many industries are hemorrhaging jobs, the solar energy field radiates a sense of prosperity and promise. Business is booming for the Colorado-based nonprofit Solar Energy International, which is offering this workshop. Tucson electrical contractor Gray Carpenter is taking the class so that he can retool his skills and pick up some of that new solar business that's supposed to be coming to southern Arizona.
In Arizona, there's no formal licensing for solar installation. I thought that you had to be an electrical contractor, but I've heard that you do not. Well, I think that you should be.
Most of the students in this class don't have any background in electrical engineering. There's a guy who owns a trucking company, a high school teacher, and a quality control manager. The only woman in the class teaches fourth grade. They all cluster around the trainer, Ed Eaton, and gaze with interest at the wiry guts of the inverter box, which translates the DC power collected by the photovoltaic panels into AC voltage that's used to power toasters and televisions.
What is this? What's the voltage? What's going on here? And somebody tell me, here's a meter. Anybody know how to use a meter?
Not me. Dave Lockett from Redding, California, is just starting out as a general contractor. He's taking the class because he thinks solar energy will be a good business niche. He's finding the course challenging.
I'm a building contractor, so the electrical in is a lot to take in. The general dynamics of putting the structure on the roof is pretty simple, but as far as wiring it in, that's what I'm here for.
Trainer Ed Eaton admits that some mechanical knowledge is helpful in the solar energy profession, but he points out that there are a lot of jobs in the industry that don't rely on those skills.
You know, it's no different than any other industry. We have administrative type work, office type work, sales type work that needs to be done. We have in-office engineering, then we have installers out in the field. And so there's a wide range of opportunities. You know, we're really looking at a renewable energy industry that's growing at a rapid pace. The solar electric or photovoltaic industry has been growing at an annual rate of around 40%. Okay, now that's been for the last 10 years. Has it slowed down a little bit with the economic downturn? Yeah, it's slowed down a little bit, but still there's growth.
That's just what general contractor Joe Liberto wants to hear. He's invested $1,000 in tuition and a few thousand more to travel to Tucson from Dover, Delaware to take this class.
I can tell you I used to do about 50 or 60 houses a year. We're down to about 5. Kind of thought everything was really good, and all of a sudden it just kind of stopped, and he just kind of thought we got to keep going, and so we thought of the solar, so sent me out to Arizona.
Eaton is teaching them the nuts and bolts of designing and installing solar systems on houses, but he also talks about the importance of assessing how much energy a home needs to run on. He wishes Americans were more conscious about their energy consumption.
We're not taking responsibility as individuals for our energy needs. I'll draw a parallel. Each and every one of us is responsible to meet our own energy needs when it comes to eating. We decide what we want to eat. We work to buy the food. But what do we do for energy? Most people have no concept of where the energy is coming from, how it's produced, and what the externalities are associated with that. That's not factored into our way of thinking. We don't even see the power plant. Here in Tucson, we have the power plant on Irvington Road is a 60-megawatt plant. Okay, that will power about 7% of the population of Tucson. Okay, now most people don't know that. They might see that power plant and think, oh, that's our power plant. But no, the bulk of the energy is coming from the power plant in Springerville, okay, which is 300 miles from here. So we don't see the effects of the emissions of that coal-fired power plant. Okay, those emissions are carried in the jet stream to somebody else. All this stuff is just going all around the Earth, and it's being passed from one spot to another.
Later that day, the class visits a City of Tucson solar installation. 72 panels are mounted on the concrete roof of a 4-million-gallon water reclamation reservoir. Bubblegum pink pipes are laid out near the parking lot, where water pumps emit a constant whine. The solar energy coordinator for the City of Tucson, Bruce Plank, explains to the class that water and electricity are closely tied here in Tucson. It starts with the fact that much of Tucson's water comes from the Colorado River.
And so to get it from the Colorado River means pumping it upstream, uphill, from the Colorado to Tucson, and then pumping it underground to mix with groundwater, and then pumping that mixed water back up and circulating it around through Tucson. And then there's a separate reclaimed water pumping system. So somewhere close to 35% of the power bill for the City of Tucson is for moving water.
The students shake their heads in amazement. Most of them have taken electricity for granted their whole lives, and this class is making them think differently. There is one exception, though. Rafi Islam, with a PhD in chemical engineering and a job at Intel in Chandler, grew up in Bangladesh.
In my country, 30 to 40% people even don't have electricity at all. That's my eventual goals, if I can help them somewhere that they can get simple light bulbs using the solar and with a cheap cost, then I think this trip is successful, I would say.
The following day, the group meets in the Avra Valley to help install their first photovoltaic system. The homeowner, Rick Morrison, wanders outside with his 92-year-old father, who pushes a walker over the rocky ground. Morrison is just the kind of customer the trainees can expect to have if they go into the solar business. The retired schoolteacher has discretionary income, and he's concerned about the environment. Systems like the one he's having installed run somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000. Morrison's father wants to know why they need solar. What was wrong with the regular electricity they'd been using? Rick Morrison told his father that oil and coal pollute the environment.
We're just poisoning ourselves. I mean, there's no two ways about that. And just on an individual level and on, you know, community level, we've got to do something.
The Obama administration hopes to create even more incentives for residents like Morrison to invest in solar panels for their homes. Ed Eaton has been in the business for 21 years, and he's seen excitement for solar energy wax and wane. And despite all the green talk from the White House, he's not convinced that it won't wane again.
The issue is, can we keep that transition going, or are we going to get stalled?
In the meantime, Eaton's own business is looking bright. Solar Energy International's classes are completely full for the next 4 months. For Arizona Spotlight, this is Laura Markowitz.